How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing back there behind the glass. And we welcome one of the greatest broadcasters of our generation ever to grace the airwaves, Linda Cohn, joining us here on Morning Drive from ESPN. Elko, thank you so much for joining us. Let me ask you about why in the NHL that four times in the last 10 years we've had coaches and teams make a move on their head coach, fire their coach, and go on to win the Stanley Cup championship. My question is, why does it seem to work in the NHL and doesn't really happen or work in any other sport?
Yeah, great question. And, of course, thanks for the wonderful intro. Listen, because there's so many games to be played yet. That's why people, especially Preds fans right now, should not panic after last night. But I just feel like when general managers make this decision, whether they confer with owners or not, they just feel we have enough games. The new coach can come in. They're familiar with a guy. It's not like they pick somebody out off the street, so to speak. So they're familiar with a person that he's had success in different levels. When we look last year with Craig Berube in St. Louis, that's the perfect example, the most recent example. I mean, he's had success. He's been behind the bench, different levels. He's been assistant. So it's not like you get someone with no experience. So here come the Preds. They shockingly fire Peter Laviolette for some reason. You know, you can't question David Poile. The guy has an incredible record, a resume. He felt this was the time. And he brings in a guy he knows in John Hines, who has, when you look at his resume overall, he has had success, especially, in AHL. And they had the one great year with the Devils. I was very surprised. But we can get into that in a moment because, you know, I'm a big Peter Laviolette fan. Mm. You know, I'm surprised he doesn't have a job already. A new job. That's how great he is.
Let's go a little further into that then, yeah. Because obviously you think very highly of him. Was it the right move? Now his sort of like the story on him has been the similar in Carolina, Philly, and here, which is people want to run through a wall for him, and then the message starts to get a little stale over time. And it felt like being around him here locally that he had maybe softened since his days of Philadelphia and learned how to, you know, maybe deliver messages in a better way. Why do you think that this is a risky move for the Preds?
Yeah, you know, we see this all the time, and it's that same theory, and we see it in all different sports, right? I mean, you know, the message just isn't being delivered the same way, or the players are, like, tired of the same message. Hey, I'm not in the dressing room. I don't know what's going on. I don't follow them every day, like, watching practice and stuff. But I will say this, just from my many years of experience of, you know, not only the NHL but other sports, it's just sometimes you just have a gut feeling you want to change it up. Now, to the players' credit, you heard all the right things from Roman Josi all on down, that it was their responsibility and they're taking ownership of this coaching change and they take some of the blame for it. And again, you always hear that. But, you know, the thing is, I just feel that sometimes, you know, the decision makers feel that they do their due diligence and then they find out that message that was working in the past was not getting through. And why not now? Why not make the change? I find it interesting from the stuff I've read about the coaching change is that, and I think David Poile mentioned this during the press conference or to a couple of reporters, is the fact he's been thinking about this since after the season last year and the way it ended for the Predators. So then you think to yourself, then why didn't he just make the change in the off season? Yeah. But maybe it was John Hines all along that he wanted, And then, of course, the Devils fired him, and so there was an opening there.
Now, Linda, you look at this Pred team, and you know, they decided to make the coaching change. They chose not to hire from within, and everyone points to the Blues, and they say, well, they did it, and there are three or four other teams that did it within the last 10 years. Now, there have been seven total, but the last 10 years, there have been four teams that have done it and have some success. But I always point to, well, those four teams, whether they hired the guy to be on the staff at the beginning of the year or not, it was a hire within. This is totally different. So I don't think you can look at this situation quite like the other situations, because, like you said, it's totally different when you hire somebody that's completely removed from the organization.
Yeah, it's a great observation, and definitely it's a great point. I'm not going to lie, I never do. I mean, it was startling. Not only did coaching change when it was made, I don't care what the history was, and I don't care that there has been success from, you know, taking a guy from within. That, you know, listen, that doesn't say well to, in a way, into your organization, right? To, you know, why didn't you just bring, you know, the next guy up within the organization? But there must have been something else. You know, again, it's kind of like there's no way around it. It's still like a boys club, so to speak, regarding who you know and the networking and the recycling of head coaches. My goodness, we're seeing that in the NFL as well at times. There's no outside the box. Well, listen, I'm a Giants fan, so they just made an outside the box election. I don't want to bore your listeners with, which I'm still getting over. You know, it's just kind of thing. It just must be something in the relationship that what David knows with John Hines. I mean, you know, but it's a process. The point is, though, how much time do the Predators have? Mm-hmm. I think the team is very good. I think the team should be in the postseason, you know, with all the talent and experience on that team. I'm a big Roman Josi fan. He's on my fantasy team, by the way. you know, he's the first defenseman I picked on my fantasy team, my ESPN fantasy team. And he's having a fabulous year, as we all know. So there's still enough time left. Last night was frightening, you know, to watch. I watched the game. And, you know, of course, it's tough to make your debut against, you know, a Stanley Cup contender like the Boston Bruins, who went to the finals last year. But it was just, I think, honestly, you know, the John Hines thing, when people panic and say, well, what did really he do with the Devils? When you look at that Devils team, except for that one year, you know, they had such goaltending issues. You know, I think his record overall, not going to his defense pretty much, but his goaltending situation with the Devils was such a disaster. I watched many of those games, and he's lost many of those games because of poor goaltending. So I just feel that wait and see. How long do Preds fans wait? You know, let's see in the next couple of weeks. Let's give it the next few weeks, you know. But you make a fabulous point. It would be better from a guy in the system, you know, but it didn't happen that way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're talking with Linda Cohn, ESPN, discussing the Nashville Predators and their season and their coaching change. When we talk about certain, you know, we talk about hockey in particular, we try to kind of compare it to other sports. And I think we came up, Munson, Marquise came up with a good comparison, because we're trying to figure out, why is this team so talented but can't seem to get it right? And we compared them to the Dallas Cowboys, so much talent, but for some reason they can't put it all together. This team has been inconsistent. So from afar, what have you seen? Has it just been the inconsistency that you've seen?
Yeah, that's a good comparison, because you're right. Year after year, the Dallas Cowboys have so much talent in key positions, and they still can't get it done. And that's what we're seeing, you know, with the Predators. I look at their forward depth, and they really don't have any. I mean, as much that it would take to contend, unless they could turn on a switch, I still feel the defensemen are doing their job. In fact, they're doing both jobs. They're putting the puck in the net. I still think you need that. You still don't have enough firepower, you know, from your, you know, bottom six. I'm not expecting them to put the puck in the net in a pace that the top six would do, but you still need more, you know, even from your next three, you know, to help out the top line. It's just inconsistent that way. I don't know. I feel that when you can't change the players, when you can't make a big trade, you know, you change the coach. And I just feel that he thinks, David Poyle, that this is going to spark them and say, hey, get off your butts. I guess he thinks they're not giving it their best, and this will do it for them. Because obviously David Poyle, who put this team together, believes the players in place can get the job done, you know. So that's why there's no big moves. It doesn't. Who knows if there's going to be some blockbuster trade by the deadline? I don't know. I just think Poyle has turned to a coaching change to try to wake up the guys that are here. You know, with the Dallas Cowboys, obviously, you know, their coaching change finally came at the end of the season. But, you know, who knows, you know, if that's going to wake up that talented group as well. It is hard to compare another sport. And I just think in hockey, there are so many games. You know, NBA would probably be the best, you know, comparison because of the amount of games, baseball as well. You can make that comparison when coaching change or managerial changes are made. But, you know, just don't panic. I mean, there's plenty of time left. The Central Division, you know, is there. You know, it obviously, we know who's great there, Colorado. Colorado lost the Rangers last night, which was shocking, right? I mean, so you just don't know what can happen night after night. You know, John Hines is a talented head coach. He knows what he's doing. And I think these players with that veteran leadership can figure it out and say, hey, do we want to be in the postseason? Do we want to give it a ride? It's up to us. If it was a young group, like, for instance, the New York Rangers, the youngest team in the NHL, they had a younger head coach, that was going to be a long process, and it is a long process. The Nashville Predators are overall a veteran group who's been to the Stanley Cup final. They can figure this out, and I think that is why Poyle went and got a guy that just can guide them, but the leadership is coming from that locker room.
Linda Cohn joining us here from ESPN. Can you give us some perspective on, you know, maybe 5-8 years ago when it came to free agents, coaching candidates, you know, front office people, really talented hockey people that contribute on the ice, right? Front office coaching and players. How they viewed the Nashville Predators organization and how it didn't feel like it was a place that people wanted to be, and how that perception has changed over the last 5 to 8 years?
Well, they were nuts, okay, because who doesn't love Nashville, right? You know, I mean, look what anyone who lives there, and you know how much I love Nashville, and right now I live in Southern California, which is great. But Nashville is always right there as that's my second favorite place that I would want to live. So as an organization of the Predators, I mean, things take time, but again, you know, credit David Poyle, credit the fans, the fan base, the people that, you know, the Sean Henrys, the people that run this organization, the consistency of this organization where it gets around. You know, in the NHL, it's a league that tends to be conservative, and I mean conservative in a sports term of just like not, you know, sticking to what we know, right, the history and all that, and no newness, and how can a relatively new franchise be such a place, a destination place for players and coaches. But, you know, kudos to those who have brought the Predators to such prominence. And, of course, we all saw how great and what a show it was when they went to the finals, you know, against the Penguins. So there's no turning back now. I mean, who wouldn't want to play for the Predators? Who wouldn't want to bring their family to Nashville? Who wouldn't want to, you know, play for the in a great city with such amazing fans, who, by the way, in just the last 6 to 8 years, as you mentioned, have really taken this game under their wings. And look, you're talking about, you know, the Predators today. You had me on today. You know, I would think 99% of the talk would be about the upcoming game for the Titans. So, and it's not like they're in every year, you know what I mean? It's not like they're playing official playoff games every year. So that says a lot for this city and this franchise and the job, those who have built this franchise to what it is right now.
I guess my answer to who wouldn't want to, I guess, is just Jimmy Vesey, I guess. I guess that's like the only one I can think of.
Well, now he's in Buffalo, right?
No, yeah.
He's been all over the place. So,
I'll let you go. We kid Jimmy. We love him around these parts. Elko, thank you so much, man. You're one of the best, and we do appreciate it. Thank you.
Anytime. Thanks again, and nobody panic, okay?
There you go. See? Wise words from Linda Cohn. Nobody panic. What are reasonable expectations for the last half of the season. The second half of the season, what, 40 games left to go? What is a reasonable expectation? Is this a playoff team? Should they make the playoffs? We'll discuss Morning Drive when we return right here. ESPN 102.5 The Game and the streaming on the Game Nashville app. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason and Braden Gall. What are reasonable expectations for this Nashville Predators team? Because, listen, David Poile said a lot of things yesterday about this decision to make this change. And, you know, certainly Linda Cohn there with her comments about, you know, Peter Laviolette thinks very highly of him. And he obviously, listen, his resume is what it is. He's been to three Stanley Cups. That's pretty you don't go to three Stanley Cups without knowing what you're doing a little bit. So it's not like he's completely forgotten. But in hockey, and a lot of times even the greatest coaches in college football or whatever, the message is just, hey, it's time for a change. Hey, your alma mater, Derek. Mark D'Antonio is one of the best coaches to ever coach in Michigan State, and it might just be time for a change because it's just run its course. And sometimes it just that's where you get to. My question is fair here, and or I think her question is fair about, you know, don't panic, this team can make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think in large part because of the talent on the roster. And I think David Poile made it pretty clear yesterday, and I think the players have also stood up and took ownership of this, that this was not just a Peter Laviolette's fault, that he is, you know, he did everything wrong and he didn't do this right. And like, it's time. The only thing you really can do at this stage of the season, you can't change 20 players, but you can change the coach. And so that was David Poile's strategy. I think the players need to take ownership. This was David Poile yesterday, sort of addressing a little bit about why the players need to have some ownership in this.
I've met with the players this morning, and I've talked to a few guys. My message to the players was that I'm responsible for this. I'm responsible for this change, and I take that responsibility. But you as players have to share in the responsibility of what's taken place today. I don't want to be a cliche or to use a cliche, but they often say that you change a coach because you can't or it doesn't make sense to change 20 players. Our team is way better than it's performed this year, but we have obviously some team concepts, systems that aren't working as effective as they should, and we also have some individuals that are playing way below their level of potential or the expectations that we have.
We have some players that are playing way below the level of expectation that we have for them. I think David Poile made it very clear that this is not about John Hines pulling them out of the basement and leading them to the championship. This is about the players. This is about Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg. You can't argue about Roman Josi. He's doing everything he possibly can. Pekka Rinne, who obviously, by the way, through all of this, has sounded like, you know, not desperate, but upset. Like, you can tell Pekka is upset with where they are right now. He's upset with his own play, and you can tell some of the things he said, like when after the Winter Classic, he's like, we're in trouble. Like, he's clearly, like, he's running out of you-know-whats to give. He doesn't give any you-know-whats anymore. He's like, enough is enough. And I don't think that was directed at Peter. I think that's directed at himself. This is about the players. They are too good to be where they are right now. David Poile just said that in that cut. I think this team should make the playoffs. I think they should make the playoffs with Peter Laviolette coaching. I think they should make the playoffs with John Hines coaching. I think they should make the playoffs with Santa Claus coaching. Mm-hmm. They are too good and are too highly paid to be in sixth or seventh place in the Central Division. And that is why they made the coaching change, because you can't change all the players. I think this should be a playoff team. I still think it's possible that they make the playoffs. I still think that expectation is fair from the fans, right?
Yes, it is fair. And the fans should want and expect this team to make the playoffs. But, you know, I know Linda said, you know, last night, don't worry too much about last night. And I get it. But I worry about last night because I saw the same old things.
Are you calling for John Hines' head right now? You're saying that John Hines should
be fired right
what
now.
What have you done for me, man? What have you done for
exactly.
us lately? He's never won a game as a
press
coach.
He hasn't even won a game as a press coach.
He's never won a game.
Goodness, how is this team going to get to the playoff? He hadn't even won a game as a press coach. He has a horrible press coach record, He's the worst press coach
winless.
Ever.
He's winless.
In regards to records.
Technically, you're right.
Yeah, no. But no, I'm just playing, John. I'm just playing.
We are kidding.
Boy, everybody, calm down. No, but you know, from what I've seen of this team, it's just like, you know, unless he is a miracle worker in Coach Hines, I don't see much changing with this team, because you're not going to change the goalie. You're not going to – you might – before the trade deadline,
you
might bring
it,
yeah, yeah. bring some guys in, but then they got to learn the system. I think next year is where you're going to see this team take the step. I don't think it's going to be this year. Now, listen, it's not a definite. It's not one of these things that, okay, this is – it's not going to happen, because it could possibly happen. But from what I've seen and then what I saw last night, the inconsistencies – They just keep showing up, and I don't think he has enough time per se to really put everything that he has or everything that he wants to teach this team in this year. I think next year will be the year
sure.
that he can do what he wants to do and this team will be successful. I just don't think this team makes the playoffs because they're doing the same thing. Again, unless something drastic happens or they bring someone in here that helps change it, meaning player-wise, I don't know what's going to make same guys.
Well,
they're going to, because you revert back to your same habits as a player.
Well, and I guess that's John's job.
When things, but I think
his new job
better,
is to keep
yeah,
him from
you're
doing
right,
that.
But
right?
he's better equipped to do it next season, I
sure.
think, than this season.
Sure, I just think, and for Pekka, what it, and again, I have no information on this. I'm not like, this is just me as a human sort of looking at another human and thinking through the human experience, and that is, mm-hmm. Pekka knows he's getting older.
Yes.
Pekka knows he's running out of chances, and it's why you can see the frustration and hear the frustration when he talks, because I think you know, and he knows, we all know, that he doesn't have a whole lot more. He doesn't have a lot of chances left.
Mm-hmm.
That, to your point, like maybe it is next year that they make the big step. Well, what if that's too late for Pekka? And I think that's in his. I think that's in his head right now. Because how? Why would it not be in your head when you're that age and you're 37 years old and you've got a year or two left in your life as an NFL or an NHL player? Like, you know that it's close to the end as a player, and you know you don't have many chances. And so I think this group of players, as David Poile said, I went into that locker room and I told them they need to have, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, they need to hold themselves accountable for what's taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you make this move without thinking you can still salvage something this season. So I think they can. I think the players are too good, too talented, that there's still so many games left in the schedule. I know you got to win 2 out of 3 to get to like 95, 96, 97 points and make it to the playoffs. That is a possible stretch. That's a possible. You could absolutely do that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility to go, you know, whatever, 24-12 or whatever it is, 24-14. It's not out of the possibility you could do that and make the playoffs. I think they should. So I think the reason you make the move is that you think you can still make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason you moved on the coach and you got rid of Peter Laviolette, is because you think you can still make the playoffs this year. And I still think they can. So I don't have a problem with the Preds fans maintaining a high level of expectation.
Yeah.
It's almost like I don't care who's coaching.
They deserve to watch a good team on the ice. And for the last, you know, 3 years or 4 years, they've had that luxury. Well, this year they're watching the team struggle. Not that they based upon the personnel, they're not a good team. It's just that they haven't taken, for some strange reason, they haven't taken the talent that they have and putting it all together. And you're right. And I said this yesterday, and Munson can vouch for it, even before Poile's press conference. I said this is something that he thought about at the end of last season.
Yeah.
Because I don't see David as a guy that just, oh, after a week, I'm just going to make a change. No. This has been going on since how they ended the playoffs.
What was the word that you took from Crispy that you're going to use now? Is it shilly-shally?
Yeah, don't shilly-shally around.
David Poile doesn't shilly-shally.
Yeah, don't shilly-shally around.
He agonizes and meticulously plans, mm-hmm. and like orchestrates, and like he's like a wizard. You know what I mean? Like, this is not – he's not just like shooting from the hip here. Like, that's not what David Poile does. And he would not be doing his job if he wasn't considering all options at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter who – what – like – no one's above the team, right?
Exactly.
Like you, everybody is you know, if some trade offer comes along and he could trade Pecorino, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. He traded Shea Weber, for crying out loud. Like, you can't.
Yeah, once you've traded anybody else.
Once you've traded Shea Weber, everything else is on the table. So
exactly.
It is what it is, and we'll see. And Adam Vingan will give us some insight into John Hines and what he expects from this team, as well as what he saw last night. We'll talk with the Athletic reporter, Adam Vingan, when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Also, John Hines will be with us tomorrow, Coffee with the Coach. So we will have a chance to talk with the Predators' new head coach coming up tomorrow morning. So we'll talk with him then. Adam Vingan, when we come back. Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing. The newly married Adam Vingan joining us from The Athletic. Adam, welcome to the show. How is marital bliss treating you?
It's treating me quite well. It'll be 1 month next week, hard to believe. But as my wife and I typically say when we're asked how married life is, we just basically say it's the same, except now that she shares my health insurance and car insurance.
Well, good luck keeping it the same, Adam.
I have a lot of faith in my husband abilities.
Oh, no, it's never about the husband abilities. It's always her expectations that change when you get married, Adam. So congratulations, man. No, congratulations, dude. And, so I know I hadn't talked to you since then, so I wanted to say congrats publicly. And just first question here, what do you know about John Hines, and what makes him different than Peter Laviolette, and how are fans going to see that sort of manifest itself on the ice?
That's a good question, because I'm still sort of learning on the fly, just as John Hines is, with yesterday being his first day. I know it's easy to look at his record in New Jersey, the fact that in four-plus seasons he went to one Stanley Cup playoff and they lost in the first round. That this year they were 30th in the league when they fired him about a month ago. And you look at some of maybe the Devils' underlying numbers, see how poor they are, and think that's a reflection of him as a coach. I don't think that's the case at all. David Poile and the Predators front office certainly had high enough regard for John Hines that they turned around very quickly after they fired Peter Laviolette and made sure that John Hines did not get away. But I was very impressed. I know this is going to be an incredibly bad sports writing, sports talk radio cliche, but he won the press conference yesterday. I think before the game and after the game as well, He's incredibly expansive and thoughtful with his responses. He did a great job of explaining what his expectations are. And I agree that I don't think there's so much tinkering with the quote-unquote system that needs to happen. I do think there are some aspects of the team's play that need to be corrected. But, you know, John Hines was able to ascend the coaching ranks because of his ability to motivate. And I think that's exactly what this team needs right now. They're not a bad team. They're not playing well. But the pieces are there for this team to be quite good. And I think a different perspective from a coach that knows how to get the best out of players, as John Hines apparently has throughout his coaching career at different levels, I do think it is a good attribute for this team's new coach to have at this time.
Yeah, he's going to have to do something, Adam, because this team, since the start of the season, and you can go back to last season toward the end of the season, and how they ended the playoffs, they've just been inconsistent. And everyone's trying to figure out why a team so talented can be so inconsistent. And I just think that this team, you'll start to see the bigger jump come next year when he has a full offseason to implement his style of play, his vision for this team. I just don't think this team right now is a playoff team, and short of a miracle, I don't think they make the playoffs, because I just think those same problems they're having now will end up being the demise of them toward the end of the season.
Well, what's interesting, Derek, is yesterday at the press conference, John Hines was asked to diagnose the Predators' problems from what he saw from afar, and he said that he saw a lot of inconsistencies in their game, and last night, you know, he saw them up close. I thought the way the Predators played last night was basically a crash course for John Hines on, okay, this is why this team isn't playing well. What do I need to do to fix it? Goaltending was iffy. defensive coverage was haphazard. The penalty kill was a mess. You know, they played well in spurts, but not consistently over the course of the entire game. You know, everything we've been talking about, they did last night, and John Hines had the opportunity to see it from the bench. And I know that today is really the first day for him because this is his first practice. This is the first day where he's going to implement his vision on this roster. And I agree with you, Derek. I mean, I know that a lot of people look at what the St. Louis Blues did last year and how they were able to go from worst in the league around this time to the Stanley Cup champion. The likelihood of that happening again are incredibly slim for any team. And I don't want to say that this is a lost season for the Nashville Predators, but it sort of has that feel. And if it means that the next 41 games are just John Hines getting a sense of his roster, David Poile doing more evaluation of who needs to be on this team moving forward, and as you said, go into the offseason and really put into place a plan to get this team back on track, I mean, I don't think that's a terrible thing. If that's ultimately what happens to this group, I don't think it's a terrible thing.
Adam Vinken joining us here from The Athletic, and I think Pekka Rinne would think that's terrible, because I think, and you tell me what you think about this, but his language and the way he's spoken about this whole situation, it strikes me as a guy who is very well aware of where he's at in his career and knows he doesn't have too many more chances left on the table.
Yeah, absolutely, and certainly Pekka Rinne would have every right to disagree with what I just said and what Derek just said. He knows that he's got this year and next year, and that might be it to win a Stanley Cup. And certainly he does not want to waste one of those 2 years on a quote-unquote lost season, as I just said. But, you know, you look at that goal that David Pastrnak scored at the beginning of the game yesterday. Now, Pastrnak is the best goal scorer in the National Hockey League right now. So he makes shots that don't seem like they should go in. Just because he's so immensely talented at putting the puck in the net. And I hate to say this as someone who watches from so far up in the press box, but that's the kind of save that Pekka Rinne needs to make, and that's the kind of save that he and UC Saros have struggled to make this season. And it's easy to scapegoat the goaltending because it's like a pitcher in baseball or a quarterback. You know, it's the most isolated position on the ice surface or on the field. And the numbers that they have reflect not just their play, but the team's play in front of them. So I don't put it all on Pekka and UC, but goaltending, as I've written many times over the past couple of weeks, has been this team's biggest downfall, in my opinion, and it's exposed their other weaknesses, which it's now John Hines' responsibility to fix.
Do you think there will be a complete coaching change as far as staff once the season's over? Because obviously there were only two people that were let go, but the staff as a whole, majority, 90% of those guys stayed intact. Do you see a huge overhaul at the end of the season?
That's a good question. Certainly it helped John Hines to have Dan Muse and Dan Lambert on the staff. They basically coached the game yesterday. They also added Rob Scuderi, who's been in the organization as a developmental coach. He's an interim assistant coach. So it's possible that there could be some changes because it's very rare when a coach comes in that he inherits his assistants and then keeps them. Now, of course, one of those examples is Peter Laviolette with Kevin McCarthy. Peter Laviolette inherited Kevin McCarthy in Carolina, and they've been attached at the hip since. So it is possible that Dan Muse and Dan Lambert stick around, but I almost see it as this as maybe as much of an audition for them as it is for the players on this team. You know, John Hines needs to see that those two can help him coach this team, and if he feels that he needs more familiarity with the staff, perhaps he makes a change. But for now, it's good to have some holdovers on the staff.
I think that speaks to the players too. Adam Vinken joining us here from The Athletic, and you know, David Poile's got the deadline coming up in a little bit. They're going to be going. John Hines is going to be going through a heavy evaluation period between now and then. They've got expiring contracts for guys like Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith. Do you expect this team? Because, again, if you think this is a lost season, do you move pieces to try to build for next year? I mean, I don't know what the right strategy is. So what do you expect from David Poile at the deadline as it pertains to personnel, players?
My guess is that at least one of the players on an expiring contract is moved. And the most practical is Mikhail Granlund. I mean, my understanding is that there have not been any contract talks of substance between the Predators and Mikhail Granlund's representation. Perhaps they'll see if Mikhail Granlund can respond to the coaching change, and maybe that makes him more productive. But it just hasn't worked here, and he's going to be too expensive to keep with the other contracts that they're going to have next year, particularly Roman Josi's new contract taking effect. So I think it would make a lot of sense to sell Mikhail Granlund, whether you get a mid-round draft pick or a B-level prospect or something. I think it's better than getting nothing. I mean, I'd be really curious about Craig Smith. I mean, he's really been playing well over the last couple of weeks, and it's hard to imagine Craig Smith not playing for the Predators. But, you know, you wonder maybe if they keep him as an own rental and he doesn't come back in the summertime, or there have been examples of players being traded at the deadline and then re-signing with their old team in the summer. I'm also very curious about Nick Bonino, and this is just me talking. I mean, his value has never been higher. He's got 1 year left after this one. He makes $4.1 million. He's had a really good season. He's made me eat a whole ton of crow. but his value, as I said, has never been higher. And I'd be curious, and he's the kind of player that contending teams lust after at the trade deadline. He's a veteran player, Stanley Cup champion, does things on both ends of the ice. I think if this season were to slip away, I think they should strongly consider trading Nick Bonino.
Well, eating crow, all Nick Bonino is doing for you is preparing you for marriage. That's all Nick Bonino is doing. He's just getting you ready for that.
And now we've come full circle.
Yep.
There you go. Now, quickly, I don't know if you mentioned Kyle Turris or not. I think you did. Not from a trade standpoint, but do you think this is a move that can potentially jumpstart Turris, and he puts Turris in a position to succeed, and we see the Turris that we thought we were going to get when they brought him here?
You certainly hope so, because they're not going to be able to trade him. And we've talked about this before because of his contract. And my colleague Craig Cousins at The Athletic today had a story with the trade tiers for the upcoming trade deadline. And Kyle Turris, according to an NHL source that Cousins spoke to, that source said they've been trying to sell Turris for over a year. They're not having any luck there, which I think is obvious to anyone who's seen what's happened with Turris and who was devalued even further by being scratched in seven consecutive games. So of the players I look to that I would hope benefit most from a coaching change, it would be Kyle Turris, because it's clear he and Peter Laviolette did not see eye to eye, and this is an opportunity for him to get back to the player he was when they traded for him.
Adam, always a pleasure, my friend. Love talking to you. Thank you so much for your insight. We do appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam Vingan. And, yeah, I talked to him off the air a couple of days ago, and I said, listen, do you want to be right, or do you want to be married? That's the question you have to ask yourself once you get married, Derek. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be married? It's a very, very easy answer. I'd like to be married. I'd like to stay married.
You pick.
So I guess I'll be wrong today.
Can I get a lifeline, please?
So I'm just going to be wrong because I'd like to stay married. All right, Big Finish when we come back. Man, we got a huge week going on this week here in Nashville. So Big Finish when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
Preds fall last night 6-2 in John Hines' coaching debut for the Nashville Predators. We will talk with him tomorrow as he joins us for Coffee with the Coach coming up tomorrow morning on Thursday. However, it's about 9:48 here. So that means it's time for the Big Finish and the Daily Rewind. Mark. You go away for 2 days, man. You take 2 days off to go handle some personal business. And this is what happens. The whole city. What the hell happened in Nashville, boys? Good to see you, Derek. Marquise, my name's Braden Gall. This is Morning Drive. What day is today, Marquise? Is today January 8th?
Yeah.
Did anything happen on January 8th?
My brother was born.
Is it really your brother's birthday?
Yeah, my older brother.
Happy birthday, older brother. He set me up for that, didn't he?
Yeah, happy birthday, older brother.
Happy birthday.
He don't listen. I don't think he supports my endeavors. I don't know.
He's getting serious.
Exactly.
Why does a big bro listen to my show, man?
I just want you to love me, man.
Keith, would you like to tell everybody?
Yeah, so what happened?
What I'm referring to?
Well, outside of my brothers. Oh yeah, Music City Miracle.
The Music City Miracle. So we are the 20th anniversary.
Damn, it's been that long.
The Music City Miracle. Now, here's one part of this that I don't think anybody realizes is that Derek Mason should have been the guy who scored that touchdown.
Isaac Byrd was the one that was supposed to have caught the ball, given it to Frank, and Frank was supposed to throw it back. Well, Lorenzo Neal found preacher man, finagled his way into getting the football, you know, finagled his way into getting the football, giving it to Frank, and Frankie, being the great guy that he is, did what he usually does, make a play. And, you know, he made a play, Kevin was there, and that play was thrown off from the jump.
Teron, welcome to the show.
As long as the Titans could get it to the second half with the score being close, I think it favors them. And it's just because of how good they are in the second half rushing the football, right? And it's just like a part of the formula for them. Go in, call tails, win the toss, defer, keep the game close, get the ball back in the third quarter, and take the lead. It seems like that's what they do week in and week out.
Also, Chase McCabe is headed to Baltimore this weekend. What? Seriously? Who approved that? Who sent Chase McCabe to Baltimore? Who did that?
Hey, the station management.
Watch out, Baltimore. Here comes Chase McCabe.
Here comes the constable.
The constable's coming to town, baby.
He's got his badge on, twirling a stick.
I don't want to hear anything about Chase McCabe twirling a stick. And we welcome one of the greatest broadcasters of our generation ever to grace the airwaves, Linda Cohn, joining us here.
You know, just don't panic. I mean, there's plenty of time left. Central Division, you know, is there. I mean, so you just don't know what can happen night after night. You know, John Hines is a talented head coach. He knows what he's doing. And I think these players with that veteran leadership can figure it out and say, hey, do we want to be in the postseason? Do we want to give it a ride? It's up to us. If it was a young group, like, for instance, the New York Rangers, youngest team in the NHL, they asked the younger head coach, that was going to be a long process, and it is a long process. The Nashville Predators are overall a veteran group who's been to the Stanley Cup final. They can figure this out, and I think that is why Boyle went and got a guy that just can guide them, but the leadership is coming from that locker room.
Sean Henry, president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, joining us here.
I think football is very different. You know, you only have 16 games versus 82 games, obviously. So if you're underperforming, the season gets away pretty quickly. And it doesn't matter what you do. A lot of times you wait till the end of the season to make a change. You know, basketball, you actually see it from time to time. Quite as often. They change coaches, it seems, so much more often anyway. But you'll see it from time to time. I think one of the greatest comebacks in the history of sport were the New York Yankees in 1978 when they made a change midseason because they were underperforming. By the grace of God, they won another World Series. So, it does happen in other places as well. But I think the sports where you see it a little bit more often, obviously, are hockey. Because our league is also so close together. You know, the team that's normally three positions out of the playoffs are so close to making the playoffs that if you make a small change, you can, you know, fundamentally change the outcome. So I think that's part of it as well.
Girl, you a dime, but I'm going to add 50 to that. You a dime 50.
What is it?
What is the dime 50?
What is the dime 50?
66 cents?
Girl, right, 66 cents.
Right, so you're not even a $4.
Well, no. The 50 is 5 times better than the dime. That was today's edition of Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and producer Dime 50 back there. Is it 50 or 50? Do I have to say 50?
50.
Do I have to say? Because that's the rapper.
Yeah.
She said 50.
That's going to be my rap name.
She said a dime 50. 50.
A dime 50. A dime 50. Derek's doing his white girl voice.
Producer, die try.
Oh, my gosh. She tried to be cool and just messed it all up.
Her voice was so annoying.
Very annoying.
So bad. A dime 50. What does that even mean? I don't know. Derek, you look like a biscuit, buddy.
Man.
You look like a biscuit.
That's somebody you go, like, you meet them.
You look flaky.
Let's listen to it one more time.
One more time.
Peter looks like a dime, like a dime 50.
Yeah.
All things in life, like, you need to risk it for the biscuit, and he looks like a really hot biscuit. Buttery flaky.
I know.
Oh, my God.
She said, in life, you gotta risk it, and he's a biscuit. She said, you gotta risk it for the biscuit.
And he looks like a bleeping hot.
That's one of the people you meet.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what people watch on TV.
Hey, girl, what's your name? And she started talking. You say, oh, I gotta go. because of her voice. You just say, I got to go.
Did you hear the friend in the background is like, ew. she's like, he looks, you got to risk it for the biscuit. And he's a really bleeping hot biscuit. And he looks flaky. And then the friend is like disgusted by all that. Thank God. All right, we have brand new Predators head coach John Hines going to join us tomorrow on the show. We've got all kinds of Titans talk about with the Ravens and a huge dilemma for Marquise Munson that we will have to solve for Saturday night.
Hey, you're a dilemma too now.
Absolutely. I'm in the same boat. Too. We're just dilemmas
your
everywhere.
Dilemma's fine,
you get a dilemma. I get a dilemma. Derek, no dilemmas. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Derek Mason, my name's Braden Gall. And for everybody out there who sent me all the well wishes over the last couple of days, it means the world to me. Thank you guys for your support. I love you all, and thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. So for Marquise, Derek, myself, thanks for listening to Morning Drive.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, be safe, and I love y'all.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.